Blog Talk Radio.
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He certainly do need it. Not as a circumstance. If I can, may I share something with you? Under these circumstances, if it weren't for Yah and these studies and my private prayers, I'd be stark raving mad, truth be told. Look at the circumstances surrounding Corona. Look at these mad, mad politicians. You know, you can know the tree by the fruit it bears, so to speak, man. Look at Trump and his acolytes. Unbelievable, surreal, madness, walking dead, body snatched. People who don't listen to any rational reasoning of any kind. And then throw in family members of ours that don't listen to any rationale concerning Rona or anything else for that matter. I have a whole lot of family members, not immediate family, of whom are affected by this Rona. And then your youngins, they are constant aggravation, aren't they? I can see what Yakub went through, and you can too. His youngins were constant aggravation. My, my, my. The things Yakub had to deal with his youngsters. And truth be told, the apple don't fall far from the tree, as far as we're concerned, too. We have to deal with foolish nations, listen to the madness of the mad people, and our nation, who listen to whatever thoughts they're in their head that lean to their own understanding, and our kinfolk, our blood relatives, whom on the dark side of the moon. Yes, these shows are essential to our sanity. When we go on these journeys, we sort of block out everything else. We sort of focus on like walking into a room with wallpaper we've never seen before and the details of it and so on and so forth. And knowing that it can improve one's life, that's how these studies are essential for you, and along with your prayers to the Most High. These studies have become an essential part of who we are, what we are to become, because most importantly, with these intense investigatory studies, we try to make a 100% effort to apply these studies to our life. We're sort of like the Godfather. Remember the scene about the Godfather? He told him, "I try to get away from this. I try to do right. I try to be right, and y'all pull me right back in it." But you can't let them pull you back in it. You can't let the madness of what's going on. You can't let your relatives who not listening to reason, and your youngins that don't listen to any kind of reason. You have to keep it focused, as Yakub was. He kept things in perspective and kept it focused. And in the end, it worked out for him and his relatives, so to speak. My name is Yom Suf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People, intense investigatory study show that we pray that you apply these studies to your lives under these dire circumstances. If I can, I'm going to bring my brother on, Cartrell, who helped with these shows. We are equal, two horses in a wagon, so to speak, pulling our weight. And I'm going to bring him on. I'm pretty sure he's going to have some commentary. And we're going to commence with our studies. May the Most High bless you, Cartrell. Your mic is hot. Shalom, brother.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, brother Yom Suf Arif. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother. Very appreciative.
Yes, sir, man. You always start off with a mouthful. And we just got to give thanks that we're still here, the descendants of Jacob, with all the adversity over the centuries that we faced as a people. We're still here. And exactly. We got to give thanks and praise. King Solomon, one of our kings, said, "There's nothing new under the sun." And we're so thankful to him that he had the monopoly on human nature and how you control it. I wouldn't say that he had the monopoly, but he directed his thoughts and attention to human nature, which is why we have the book of Proverbs, which helps us to discipline in our spiritual nature. So we had great kings in ancient time, and we're looking at what's not new under the sun with Donald Trump. I don't want to jump ahead of the story, but we see that the Most High is hardening Donald Trump's heart in the face plague that the Most High has sent upon the earth. You're going to stand out there like a fool and act like it ain't even really going on. Like the angel of death ain't taking people.
Madness, brother. Pure madness.
You're talking about 225,000, 30,000 plus people. They went to war with Iraq for only 3,000 people that got killed at the Twin Towers. 3,000 people died. The United States went to war with Iraq. Unprecedented, unheard of. But here we talking about what is 230,000 people?
Exactly.
What's the percentage of that compared to 3,000? So they're taking it lightly. Donald Trump, he acting like, you know, we back to normal, open up everything, have big, you know, rallies like ain't nothing going on. But the Most High showing this fool that not only will I hit you, I'm about to tear Babylon down. Your economy, your healthcare system, your finances, all your corruption, I'm exposing right now. Your racism, everything being exposed, nothing being hidden. So we give thanks to the Most High because he said he's going to bring this day, appointed time, a judgment for the wicked. And we read in Job, and Job was talking about the situation with the wicked and the righteous. We don't know what's really going on because it seems like the wicked always, you know, prevail. They're always comfortable. They're always in peace. They're always flourishing. But we're seeing the Most High uproot that right before our very eyes.
Exactly.
Worldwide. So the Most High said he would judge the nations. It ain't just America that's being judged.
Well, as you said, Godfrey, it's an open book test. Ain't no secret. An open book test.
But we the same as our fathers, and we see that our inception, it wasn't too pleasant. It was very tumultuous. Jacob's son gave Jacob problems.
Give me those, man.
And that's an understatement.
They gave that man the blues. I know how he feel, Cartrell. I know how he feel.
Our situation don't compare to with Jacob, because I'm sure none of your children kidnapped one of their brothers or sisters.
Oh, that's right.
Told you that they were dead because a mountain lion killed them.
I guess considering that information, you're right. They give out blues, but not to that degree. They gave him blues to the 10th degree. Our children give us blues maybe to the 3rd or 4th or 5th. But they gave him blues to the 10th degree.
Like Job, he remained faithful to the Most High, didn't he?
Exactly. And that's how we should be, Cadrill. No matter.
Exactly.
All right, fellow students. Thank you, Cadrill. Let's get started in our studies. Turn to 46th chapter. We're moving right along, Cartrell. 46th chapter of Bereshit. Genesis, some of you call it by the Greek name. We're moving right along. So I'm going to give you a few seconds to get there. We're going to get started. May the Most High bless you by the reading and studying and application of his word, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. So Israel set out with his. And he came to Beersheba, where he offered sacrifices. Now, see, that's what you need to do. He offered sacrifices to Yah of his father Isaac. Yah called to Israel in a vision by night, that night. Yaqub, he answered. He answered here. And he said, I am Yah. The Yah of your father, the Elohim of your father. Fear not to go down to Mezarim, for I will make you there into a great nation. You're going to multiply. Now, said it again, Cartrell.
I said he didn't say he's going to make him a cult, did he?
No, he certainly did.
He didn't say he's going to make him a religion, did he?
No, he certainly didn't.
What did he say he's going to make him?
He's going to make you a nation.
Oh, okay.
He didn't say he was going to make them a cult or a religion, a Baptist, a Seventh-day Adventist, or whatever, Roman Catholic. He said, I'm going to make
Muslim.
You.
Know,
yeah, Muslim.
Hare Krishna.
No, he didn't say none of that. A Buddhist? Didn't say any of that. He said, I'm going to make you a nation. And I myself will go to Mithraim. For there, okay, then he said, I myself will go down with you to Mithraim. I'll be there with you. And I myself will bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. And Joseph's hand shall close your eyes, and your son, your favorite son, will lay you to rest. So Zaku set out to Beersheba. The sons of Israel put their father, Yaku, and their children, and their wives in the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. And he took along their livestock and the wealth they had amassed in the land of the Canaan. See, they know about amassing wealth, self-reliance in their livestock. You know, see, we are livestock people. Not only are we a land people, we are that's why I have an affinity for livestock. We are a people who are about our livestock and self-sufficiency in the land. Thus, Yaku.
So, Yaku.
Yes.
I know you're about to go on, but
right.
Jacob is bouncing back and forth between two Hamite people, the Canaanites and the Egyptians.
Exactly.
Can you imagine the Ashkenazi Jews bouncing back and forth between two Hamite nations?
No, they'd be the spotter. They could disappear within them. They couldn't blend in. No, they could be a
member. This could not have been the European Jews you're talking about of today.
Definitely not.
Because the Canaanites was black,
right.
And the Egyptians was black.
Right. Well, any person of any rationale with any interest in any study of history, would know this. But you would have to know this by your studying. If you don't study, well, you certainly would know these things, Cartrell.
And you have to know these things because we're doing a detailed, meticulous study of the treasure that's in there. And why is that important? So I had to stop you there because we know that Judah was messing with the Canaanites, right?
Exactly.
Matter of fact, he had two sons that died by his first wife, right, who was a Canaanite.
Exactly.
It wasn't just bouncing back and forth between the Hamites, the Canaanites, and the Egyptians. They were actually marrying them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see with Simeon. He had a Canaanite wife.
Okay.
Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to read that. We're going to read that when we do, when we read the descendants and everything, which we're about to come to.
So they're about to go into Egypt.
Right.
Right? And the Most High said he's about to make them a nation.
Mm-hmm.
So while they're in Egypt, who you think they're going to take as wives?
You already know, player.
If Joseph got one already, what do you think the rest of the brothers are going to do?
And the grandchildren, the grandsons. What you think?
Yeah. Okay.
What you think and what they look like after they come out. Exactly. Like they remotely look like them, okay? They look like
that's
anything.
His brothers couldn't tell that Joseph was not an Egyptian, but he was one of them.
Exactly. Okay. And Yaakov set out for Beersheba.
And you know what Beersheba is, right?
Where is it located?
Beersheba is where Laban and Jacob made that oath.
Oh, okay. All right.
Remember that oath that they made?
Yeah. Because they squared. They say, no problem. We good.
Right. Because Laban was coming after Jacob because somebody stole his teraphim.
Right.
They met at Beersheba.
Right.
So that's what we talk about, this point right here in time.
Exactly. Okay, the sons of Israel put their father, Yaakov, and their children and their wives in the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. And he took along their livestock and the whip that they had massed in the land of Canaan.
Thus, what did Pharaoh send?
Wagons.
So we think wagons is like, you know, Western. The white man came up with wagons. No, wagons been an ancient thing. Wagons. What's a wagon?
Exactly. Now, they didn't just start in the Wild Wild West, okay? Covered wagons.
Remember wagon train?
Yeah. No, they didn't just start then. They would like you to believe that, but that's not true. And then Yaakov and all his offspring with him came to Mezarim. He brought with him to Mezarim his sons and grandsons, his daughters and granddaughters, all of his offspring. These were the name of the Israelites, Yaakov and his descendants, who came to Mezarim. And he first called them Israelites. These were the name of the Israelites. Didn't say black Israelites, just said Israelites.
It didn't say Hebrew Israelites either.
No, I didn't say that, just Israelites. And Yaakov first born Reuben. Reuben's sons, Enoch and Pallu, Hezron and Carmi, Simeon's sons, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jashin, Zohar, and Saul, the son of a Canaanite woman. Levi's son, Gershon, Kohat, Merari, Judah's son, Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zephrah. But and Onan had died in the land of Canaan, and we know how they died. The Most High took them. And Perez's son was Hezron and Halmud. Eskar's sons was Tola, Puva, Ob, Shimron, Zebulun's sons, Shered, Eblon, Jehiel. These were the sons whom Leah bore to Yaakov and Padan, in addition to his daughter Dinah. Person and all, male and female, was 33. Gad's son. Go ahead.
When Joseph's brothers went to see him in Egypt, right?
Right.
They never mentioned that they had a sister Dinah, did they?
No, they didn't mention Dinah.
Ain't that peculiar?
Yeah, that's rather peculiar. I find that's peculiar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Dinah had been through so much trauma.
Right.
They're like, no, we're not going to put her through no more trauma. You're not taking my sister, Dinah.
Right.
Bring her here.
Yeah. I think they were rather protective of Dinah after what she had went
through. More than Benjamin, because they didn't mention to Pharaoh, Dinah, their sister, did they?
No.
They wasn't even talking to Pharaoh.
Right.
Who were these brothers married to? And how are they getting sons? Who are they wives?
Canaanite women.
They had to be Canaanite, right?
Right.
Because they wasn't amidst nobody else, right?
No.
I'm sure they wasn't marrying their sister Dinah.
No.
They had to be taking the daughters of the Canaanites. They probably took the Shechemite women, right?
Right. Well, because there's nothing to suggest, imply, and infer otherwise. And so any reasonable person will come to that conclusion. So Gad's son, by Zipheon, Haggai, Shuni, Esbon, Eri, or Rodi, Areli, Asher's son, Imnah, Ashva, Ashvi, Beriah, and his sister, Sarah. Beriah's son, Eber, Mechil. These were the descendants of Zephlah, whom Laban had given to his daughter, her handmaiden, Leah. These she bore to Jacob, 16 persons. The sons of Jacob's wife, Rachel, and Benjamin. To Joseph was born in the land of Mezarim, Manasseh, and Ephraim, whom Ashenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore to him. Benjamin's son, Bela, Bicha, Asbel, Gara, Naaman, Eth, Rosh, Muffin, Huffin, and Art. These were the descendants of Rachel, who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all.
So wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph's baby brother had more sons than him?
That boy was truthful. that boy like somebody knocking, rocking them boots. You know, Joseph's a busy man. He didn't have time for all that. You know, but that Benjamin was like, somebody knocking, rocking them boots.
So he ain't no little baby boy no more. He's a grown man.
That boy putting in work, man.
He got 10 boys. He almost caught up with his father.
Man, he wasn't playing.
Nah, Benjamin wasn't playing.
Yeah, I mean, he was being fruitful and multiplying.
No doubt.
And Dan's son, Hashem, Naphtali's son. So Dan just had one son.
Think about that.
Man, I guess Benjamin's doing all the work at home. Naphtali's son. Jesse.
What was on Dan's mind?
I know it, man. I guess he was out there messing with the flock. You know, I guess he was out there putting in work like his daddy would, but at least his daddy put in work at home, too. Damn, I guess he likes staying out there with the sheep and the goats and whatnot, camels. And, you know,
I think Dan saw all that confusion in his father's house.
he didn't
want
all them.
He
didn't want all them children. And Naphtali's son, Jezreel, Gunni, Jizor, Shilim. These were the descendants of Bethha, whom Laban had given to his daughter Rachel as a handmaiden. These she bore to Jacob, 7 persons in all. All the persons belonged to Jacob who came to Mizraim, his own issue. Aside from the wives of Jacob's son, all these persons numbered 66 outside of his sons and his own issue. 66 outside of his own sons and issues, his servants, but his total, including his household, was 70. So Jacob's sons who were born to him in Mezarim were 2 in number. Thus, the total of Jacob's household in itself came to Mezarim was 70.
So you're 70. Adding the 66 that came from Canaan.
Right.
And we're talking about Joseph's family, his wife
right.
and his 2 sons.
Right.
So 66 and 4 is 70.
66 and 4. Hold on. It's on the 2 in the number. That's the total number. 7. Okay, let's go back up here.
Yeah, my daughter was accounting, so those numbers are good.
Oh, your baby was? No, but I'm looking at this. Yeah. All the persons belonging to Jacob who came to Mezarim, his own issues outside of the wives of Jacob's son, all these persons numbered 66. Okay? And Joseph's number born in Mezarim was 2.
Plus Joseph and his wife.
Okay.
So yeah, his Egyptian wife was considered family.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. We have that corrected. And he had said, I wouldn't count in Jacob. Then he said, hold on. Okay, now, I got it. I had to do a Jeffro. If anybody know about Beverly Hillbillies, Jeffro, he had to take his time to study. He had to do one dot, two dot, three dot. So I had to do a Jeffro on Beverly Hillbillies. Okay, but I got it. I'm not going to be a doctor, but I got it, just like Jeffro. Okay, and he sent Judah ahead to Joseph to point the way before him to Goshen. So when it came to the region of Goshen, Joseph ordered his chariot and went to Goshen to meet his father, Israel, Yaqub. And he presented himself to him, embracing him around the neck. And he wept on his neck a long time, a good while.
So hold up. You haven't seen your son in like 30 years. He rolling up in a
big
Cadillac,
boy.
Son.
Big boy. BMW.
He rolling up in a chariot of Egypt?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You ever seen an Egyptian chariot?
Beautiful. Those were some beautiful chariots. And he riding a big boy. You know, he don't look like that 17-year-old boy. He look like a 47-year-old man in charge. You know, big boy rolling up with his driver. And looking all fresh.
Got service running behind him.
Yeah, running behind his chariot. You know what I mean? You know, and the man, and he got soldiers probably running with him too, looking out for the second in command.
What you think Jacob was thinking when he saw that?
Joseph?
Man,
look at my son. Whoa, look at my boy. My boy. Big dog. I mean, he had to have some pride there. You know,
it's like LeBron James' father seeing him after 30 years of abandoning him.
Exactly.
Are you the world champ of the NBA, my son?
Yeah, you the man.
You rolling up in a Mercedes-Benz?
You the man. But you got to realize at that time, those Egyptian chariots were the Mercedes-Benz, the BMWs, and the Cadillac.
You talking about deck with gold. It's better than Mercedes-Benz. Fresh horses and gold.
Yeah.
With
and them
all
kinds
of feathers and decorations on them.
The horses pruned beautifully. And just, man, it was a sight to behold for a father that hadn't seen his son in 30-something years. A sight to behold. And then, you know, in response was that I'm sure, pretty sure he couldn't have wait for the chair to stop. We jumped out, run to his daddy. He knows his daddy. Hung on his daddy
that
like
he couldn't get there fast enough. I'm sure he was out of protocol.
He hung on his daddy like he was a little boy. Crying on his daddy. My daddy. You know, he loved his daddy. Then Joseph said to him, then Israel said to Joseph, oh, now I seen you, my boy. Now I can lay down and die, having seen for myself that you're still alive. And Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell the news to Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and my father's household, who were in the land of Canaan, have come to me. The men are shepherds. They've always been breeders of livestock. They have bought with them their flocks and herds and all that is theirs. But he advised them. Because listen what he told to get advice to. You got to instruct your folks into doing what's right. Give them sound advice. So when Pharaoh summons you, and I'm pretty sure his brothers, his nephews and nieces, they were all around him. He said, but when Pharaoh summons you and asks, what is your occupation? Because we don't want no trouble. We don't want to be contentious with nobody. You should answer. Your servants have been breeders of livestock from the start to now, both we and our fathers, so that you may stay in the region of Goshen. Because if you say anything else, he ain't going to look at it like that. So I want you to stay in this good area, all isolated by yourself. So don't go up in there telling them y'all builders and whatnot, y'all something special. Just say y'all breeders of livestock. That's all y'all know. All the shepherds are an abhorrent to the Mezzarines. They don't like these are city folk. These are city folk. They don't fool with stock. I mean, they got herders, but they think that's beneath them. So you ain't gonna have no problem with them. They ain't gonna have no problem with you. They gonna keep themselves away from you. And I'm suggesting you ought to keep yourself away from them. So I'm putting you in a position so you stay out here in this Goshen and that you don't really fool with them like that. Because they ain't going to fool with you like that. But obviously, them women must like them brothers because they got with them. them nephews and whatnot, Contrail, they got with them. So they must have been some fine-looking fellas because them Egyptian women didn't have no problem taking up with them. All right, Kaja, what's your comments on that, brother?
Well, it's just like the Mexicans that deal with the agriculture right now, right? They're on the agricultural field because people in America think that that kind of work is beneath them.
Beneath them, right.
But we see that our ancient fathers had skill in dealing with cattle and being farmers, and that was their ticket to growing as a nation.
Exactly.
You want to be mayors and senators and congressmen or priests in Egypt. Joseph said, no. What occupation do you occupy? We simple farmers. We're not getting involved in the politics or merchants and trying to run stuff up in Egypt. We're going to deal with the cattle, which we know y'all don't like. So he used wisdom in order to take care of his family. He set them up royally because Goshen, we're going to find out, is one of the best places in Egypt to raise cattle. So he gave them the richest part of Egypt so that their cattle could grow. And that was Jacob's business, right? Growing sheep and goat and ox and growing flock. That's how he got rich. And you could imagine when Pharaoh saw them coming that they were abundant with the wealth that they had gained in Canaan. And they were not Canaanites. Pharaoh knew they weren't Canaanites. And he's trying to figure out in his mind, how did these people get all this wealth? Oh, that's right. I'm looking at Joseph, and he's helping us get wealth. So I'm sure he was welcoming to more of people like Joseph, especially his father. So that's why he showed them so much favor.
Well, here's one of the reasons I believe that Joseph instructed them on their occupation also. Joseph had been there long enough to know how these people mind work. And what they were into politics and whatnot and so on, and they were into the priesthood with the different religions that they had. So it was a way to say, I know how they mind think, because I've been around them, I know how they think. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm telling you, just telling you, Chef, that's all you do, that's all you know, that's all you into. You ain't into politics, you ain't trying to be no pharaoh, you ain't trying to be a prince of Egypt, you ain't trying to be none of that. You just trying to do your thing, stay low, stay out the way. Because he know how their mind was. He know how the Egyptian mind thought. Because it's been around them.
And he knew his family, too, that they would get all involved with the Egyptians. So he was basically isolating them.
Exactly. Like,
we know what the Egyptians don't like. That's what we need to be doing. Because they're not going to come nowhere near you, and you're not going to go nowhere near them.
Exactly. He what they call it? Segregation.
Segregation. Because he got played upon, right? He went to Potiphar, and was a servant to Potiphar, but Potiphar's wife tried to make him commit adultery.
Exactly.
Would his brothers be strong enough to resist temptation like he did?
That
he's not even taking the chance. He's like, no, you're not going up in the court to Egypt, or you're not taking that path that I took. We're just going to be simple farmers, and we can do well taking care of our cattle and our herds.
And take care of our food and stay in low, stay out the way.
Yep.
You ain't got to get involved with all of their politics. Stay low, stay out the way. That's what y'all do. Stay low, stay out the way. And that's why I'm putting y'all out here in Goshen, out the way. I'm putting you in a good spot. But you know what? I guess them Egyptian women were fine because them brothers got up with them. You already know. The brothers got with them. You know them. You know brothers like sisters. I'm gonna tell you that not fine sisters. You know that dead on that.
And they still didn't have to marry somebody.
That's what I'm saying. So I ain't mad at them, Cottrell. I ain't mad.
So they went from the Canaanites to the Egyptians.
Exactly.
Right?
I think Cottrell. That's why they had an affinity for the Egyptians. They knew they had some blood of them in them. That's why they kept running back to them, looking for solutions, you know.
Well, when you think about it, Egypt is really our mother, because that's
exactly
where we went to become a nation.
Exactly.
It wasn't in Canaan. Mosai pushed Jacob and his family into Egypt, and that's where
exactly
we became a nation.
And you know, Cadre, he knew that he didn't want his brothers influenced by all those many gods. You know, he knew he was a strong man, but he knew his brothers, and he knew his brothers had some weaknesses, and so he had to look out for his brothers and his nephews and whatnot. Even that being said, it didn't totally work, but he did try to look out for them like we should try to look out for one another, truth be told.
And the Most High was really looking out for all of them because he didn't want Jacob's grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren marrying Canaanites. So he moved them to Egypt.
Yeah, he didn't want to marry them. I mean, he'd rather from to have an Egyptian than have a Canaanite.
Exactly.
No, them were some perverts. You know what I mean? Anything went with them. Anything. So he didn't want them to have, even though they were kinfolk, even though they were part of our nation, even though they were part of our lineage, not part of our nation, part of our lineage, they were something else. They were Shemite.
Not all of them. And
not
she
all
didn't say how many of them, but we know that Tamar, Judah had to say that she was more righteous than me.
Exactly. I stand corrected, Cadre. Not all of them.
Yeah. So not all the Canaanites were bad, but there's very few and far in between that were good. So Tamar was one of the good Canaanites.
Just like in America. All right, Cadre, fellow students. Let us turn to the 23rd chapter of Job. And Job is proclaiming Yah's righteous judgment. Job is not saying how righteous he is. He said, I'm leaning on the Most High righteous judgment, no matter what y'all are talking about. You know, you call me this, call me that, but you don't know what you're talking about. So I'm going to rest my assurances on the Most High righteous judgment. May the Most High bless you. Right, study, and most importantly, the application of the word to your life. Give you a few seconds to get there. And I do mean a few. We're going to get started once you get there. And I shall begin by reading. When Job answered and said to one of his so-called friends, even today, my complaint is bitter. My head is listed because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, Yah, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him, not y'all, and fill my mouth with arguments before him, not y'all. I would know the word which he would answer me, that I could hear what he's talking about and understand what he would say to me. Would I contend with me in his great presence? No. But I would take note of me, that there the upright could reason with Yah. And I would be delivered forever for my judge. Look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I can't perceive him. When he works on the left, I cannot behold him. When I turn to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. He know every step I take. When he has tested me, I know this. I shall come forth as gold. My foot has had fast to his steps, his ways.
So it shows you that Job has more understanding than his friends.
Exactly.
And what he just said.
Exactly.
Even though he can't find Yah, he can't sit before Yah and plead his case. He moved forward, he can't find Yah. He moved backward, Yah's not there. But the one thing that he does know is that I'm keeping my feet straight. Right? I'm still walking the way Yah told me to walk. I'm not turning to the left or to the right. I'm keeping his way. I'm not departing from his command. So I know, even though I'm going through this,
right,
Yah is going to judge me favorably.
Well, yeah, he has assurance because he has his assurance of Cartrell because of the fact he knows that he hadn't did anything wrong, in spite of what his so-called three friends have accused him of. And although I can't see Yah, I trusted him. I trusted his judgment. And because my reliance and assurance is in his judgment, therein lies my confidence. Unlike you so-called fair-weather friends, I don't trust you in your judgment.
And in a subtle way, he's doing what they're telling him to do right before their face. He's making prayer. He's seeking Yah. While at the same time, they're still criticizing him, even though he's doing what they told him to do.
But they can't see it, Cartrell, as we learned in these studies in the earlier chapter. He says, Yah takes the eyes of people away and the ears of people. Y'all right in my face, and y'all can't see nothing I'm talking about. And they still won't be able to see what he's saying. He's making his duty to the Most High. He's putting his reliance and assurance on the Most High. But he's telling these fair weather friends right in front of their face. And they're not going to even see it. It's going to go right over. Continue their attack upon them. So what we're saying, fellow students, if you know you're doing right according to Yah, and you're walking in his steps according to you, no, I'm not talking about leaning to your own understanding, a misinterpretation. But what I'm talking, if you're following Yah's way and you're following his step and you're not leaning to your own understanding, who cares what anybody else says? Your assurance and reliance should not be on Yom Suf. And on Cartrell or anyone else for that matter. Because there is a righteous judge, as Job is pointing out to his so-called fair weather friends. And come put him to the, not put him to the test, to test his everlasting nerves. And surely they have. And surely they will continue. And your friends will be the same way. So rest assured, when you're doing what's right, you're going to have these people coming at you.
And he says something very important in the 12th verse.
Okay. Okay, let me put these bifocals on. I have not departed from the commandments of his lips.
What commandments is he talking about?
Well, it wasn't the Ten Commandments. It was a commandment.
Moses wasn't even born, right?
It wasn't the Ten Commandments. It wasn't no Ten Commandments. They're the thing in this world before the Ten Commandments came, was good and evil, right and wrong, common sense. And he knew these were the commands of the Most High, even though they weren't written in stones before Moses. But everybody ought to know right from wrong. He said, I ain't took from the widow. I ain't took from the orphans. I've helped the widow women out. I've helped the orphans. I've gave people food that didn't have food. I put clothes on people's back. I ain't tried to mistreat people. I ain't tried to raise the rent, take the house. I ain't tried to take the health care. I ain't tried to do none of that.
We see a lot of it in the stories we're reading way before Moses is born. We didn't steal your cup, Joseph. We didn't steal your money.
Right.
We didn't sleep with your wife, Potiphar.
Right. That's right.
We didn't worship the gods of Egypt. We didn't steal your idol, Laban. So they knew right from wrong.
They knew right from wrong, unlike some of us, unfortunately, today, Cartrell. The system has to tell us right from wrong. Cool.
And we think right from wrong is the law of Moses, those Israelites that have awakened. That's
right.
The only standard that we're going by. When we see here that a standard was set way before Moses was even born, which is why Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob got an everlasting covenant with the creator of heaven and earth.
Yeah.
So.
Because they lived by righteousness.
The law of Moses was a standard.
They did
it with
right.
Job.
Right. They lived
Yahweh
by
was giving commands. Yahweh was giving commandments way before Moses was even born.
Exactly. And they knew right. And Job knew right from wrong. He said, I followed that right. You know, I followed from the lips of the Most High, not from my so-called three fair weather friends, whom are leaning to their own understanding.
And
but
they seem to know something, too, right, about right and wrong.
Right. Oh, they know something. But they were off the mark when it came to judgment.
Yes.
They were off the mark because they was trying to think for the Most High. And the Most High said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. So you can't think for me. And certainly because you can't think for me, you're in no position to judge Job. You don't know really what's going on. And they had, like I said, they had a baseline, Cottrell, when it came to some things, but they were off the mark when it came to some things.
And the beauty of it all,
mm-hmm.
You want to know the beauty of it all?
What's that, Cottrell?
The Most High was counting on Job.
And Job, you know what? Job, in spite of his miserable condition, he stepped up to the plate. Unlike so many of us, Cottrell, this man was Cottrell.
Most I knew you could test this man, and I know that this man is gonna love me to the end.
Right.
And Job came through.
Right. In spite of his condition, I know he's mentally in distress. He has post-traumatic. I took his stuff syndrome. I took his children, lies. I took his livestock. I got his wife upset with him. I've got it from the top of his head to the bottom of his head. He's got boil all over him. But this man didn't let go on his principle, his righteousness. And he didn't lean to his own understanding.
And what's he proving?
Right.
He's proving that he really loves his creator.
Exactly. Unlike some of us, unfortunately. We're cold against some of us, Katria, and we'll start.
A cold.
Donald Trump, COVID-19. We'll start cutting up. We'll forget everything. Then he says, I have treasured the words of his mouth, Yah's mouth, more than my necessary food.
Say what?
Look at the words of Yah is more important to me than my necessary nourishment.
And we only do this 5 days a week.
Come on, man. Come on now. You know what? We doing the best we can with what we got. We put it out there. We put it out there, Contrail. The case said we don't put it out there. You know.
How many times do people eat?
They eat 3 times a day if you got a good paycheck. And
every
if you
day.
And if you ain't
Seven
got a good
a
paycheck.
Week.
Yeah. And then throw in some snacks. But if you ain't got a good paycheck, you maybe eat by 2 or 1 time. You know. When I grew up, I didn't know nothing about no 3 meals. I was lucky I got 2, because like I tell y'all, I had seven brothers and 5 sisters. Meals was hard to come by sometimes, you know, when you got that many folks in the household. So, but that was real necessary food for us, even though it was hard to come by sometimes. So, depending upon the circumstances, Cartrill.
So, you should desire the word of Yah as much or more than you desire the meals you eat every day, 7 days a week.
Well, truth be told, that's the way I feel about it. Because like I told you, like I told the listeners when I came on, with all this going on around this COVID-19, Donald Trump, the madness and whatnot, Walking Dead, some of us, whatnot, crazy white folk and whatnot, this, when we go in these studies, Katria, it's just like me going to a different real world, okay? I transport into a different time. And I get an opportunity to free my mind, and the rest will follow.
So on the weekends, it's like we're going through a fast because we're not getting the words of Yah.
No. It don't stop you. No. Just cause real talk for real people show do 5 days. No, Yom Suf don't do 5 days, okay? Yom Suf got to go back in history to get peace of mind. 7 days a week, 365 days a year, including one day in leap year, okay? Yom Suf needed every day, okay? It's necessary to me, just more necessary than that food Job is talking about. I need my peace of mind, so I got to go every day.
So imagine if our people had this same mindset, where would we be?
Well, we'd be a whole lot better off, truth be told, Katria. Truth be told.
Uh-huh.
Because I need it. I need it every day.
I think our people think they need that Popeye's McChicken sandwich and Big Mac's and Burger King more than we need Yah's word.
Maybe Kentucky Fried Chicken more than you. Okay, all right. I don't think it's working out for them too well, but
Not really.
I let them go get their choice of the Kentucky Fried Chicken, but I need this. I need it more than I need Kentucky Fried Chicken, okay? Because I can't take that chicken to Sheol with me, but I think what's in me, by Yah with me, okay? I can't take that bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, okay?
You mean the McDonald's fries and them Dunkin' King donuts ain't gonna get you there, bro?
No, it can't take me to Sheol. I can't take what you said, McDonald's? No. They ain't letting that in the Sheol, okay? None of that. I need the word of the Most High with me wherever I go, however I go, whenever I get there. As I said, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, including a day in leap year.
So how many people you think got dust on the word of the Most High? that book sitting up on the shelf.
Oh, well.
They might pull out on Sundays.
How many people? Okay, I don't know. I'll tell you what. If they pull it out on Sunday, but look here. but I'm going to get real country with you. Now, look here, country. I would suggest they take the mindset of Job, because in the final analysis, if you don't take that mindset and put the importance on the word of the Most High more than your necessary nourishment, you're going to be in real big trouble, because you're going to be following whatever going on around about you. If they're afraid, you're going to be afraid. If their house is burning, you're going to say your house is burning. Whatever happened to them, because you don't value anything that the Most High says, you're going to value anything that your master said, okay? Our house is burning. Our house is burning. And surely that is the case there, Kaiserio. Surely. It's true. All right. Know what to place your value on, just like Job. And just like us. Go ahead, Kaiserio.
That the beauty of Yah's word is that he gives us a vision of everything around us, whether it be yourself, whether it be the president, whether it be your friends. It doesn't matter. Yah gives us the vision of human nature. While we're going through the word of Yah in these scriptures, we see human nature all around
exactly.
us. And
exactly.
Yep, we all being put to the test.
We certainly are, Katria. We certainly are.
Where does our human nature lead us? Are we compulsive? Will we have slept
right.
with Potiphar's wife? Will we have
right.
robbed Potiphar because he didn't
right.
know what was in his house? Will we
right.
have got back at our brothers because they sold us into slavery?
Right.
And now we see them. We could take their heads off because we got power in Egypt.
Right.
Are you
mistreating the women folks in the nation?
All right.
Are you not taking care of the widow women and the orphan? Are you not taking care of your animals properly? Are you not taking care of the earth properly? I mean, all this is a part of our nation. Not simply just thinking yourself something special. There's duties, obligations, and our responsibilities. And are you taking those responsibilities seriously?
Are you in a position like Joseph with power and money and decision-making? and you don't give a damn about your family. You don't care what happens to them because of what they did to you. Or are you going to be like Joseph? Even though they did that to me, this is why I'm here, where I'm at now, and I'm going to do everything I can to look out for them in spite of what they did to me.
But you know what, Contra? I had to come run a call. Let me share something with the fellow students. I called Abby y'all last night. I was hot in the firecracker. One of my youngsters. And it had plagued me all night. It had plagued me all day. And finally, I said, y'all, direct and order my step dealing with this youngster. So the Most High said, go on, show him some love. But then give him a lesson, too. So I showed him some love. I gave him a lesson. And I hope it sticks with him. You just can't be talking about your folk if you ain't trying to love on them, help your folk. Because talking about us, that ain't doing no good. If you're going to talk about us, show me some love. I mean, like you said, Cartrell, we got a lot of folks in power position just talking about us in the so-called neighborhood. That ain't doing the world of good when your pocket's fat. When you got widow women out here, you got orphan out here, you got women being beaten up by their husbands in the nation, unfortunately. Mistreated by their husband in the nation, unfortunately. And you ain't got a mumbling word to say? And you ain't going to step up to the plate and speak up for these women? Speak up for these little girls, or little boys, or whatnot, these animals. I mean, you know righteousness. The righteousness, you got to step up to the plate. And then not only step up to the plate with your lip service, step up to the plate with your actions. Truth be told, Cartrell. Truth be told, fellow students. And people don't need just no conversation. That's what folk don't understand about us, Cartrell. They don't know the love you show me. I don't tell them your business. They don't know the love I've shown you, or Abby, or vice versa, or Jerry, or vice versa. I don't put all my business out there, but you know why? You know why they stick with the show? Because we ain't about lip service trying to preach it, folks. Our actions reveals who we are, just like Job. Our actions reveal what we do, just like Job. That we believe in righteousness, not just giving lip service to it, but by virtue of our actions. And that's why the things that you do for me, I give you the shirt off my back, brother. The things that Abby y'all do for me and mine, I give her the shirt. Well, I got to put a shirt on before I give her the shirt off my back because she's a woman. But, you know, a lot of folk do a whole lot of talking, Cartrell, even in this nation. But when it comes to action, few and far in between, and they don't step up to the plate. Righteousness demands you step up to the plate. It doesn't simply mean you give lip service, how much you love Yah. Well, what do your actions reveal? You know, I made a statement earlier in the show, Cartrell, and fellow students, that you will know a fruit, you will know a tree by the fruit it bears. And what kind of fruit are you bearing when it comes to us? Or some of you just simply happy talking about how dirty we all are. Because simply we all are dirty. But even that being said, we need love. We need support. Are you doing that? Are you simply content to talk about us? And I'm not talking about Cartrell and I. We could care less. But this nation. Are you simply happy
to talk? The solution that Yah has given us.
Right. And these words are his solutions. Are you giving them the nourishment of his word? And then are you exercising that? Go ahead, Cartrell.
Yeah, we are Eastern people that have been amongst Western people for a long time. And they give you words. They make promises, like the puppets, politicians that we see right now.
Exactly.
They're coming out making promises, but they never
and lie to
the promises that they make. So they just give lip service,
right?
And the beat goes on.
And we're trying to, some of us, unfortunately, Cartrell, and fellow students, we're trying to act just like them. Well, let me hurry up and finish. Then Cartrell's going to bring on another lovely Psalms. You know, today is Family Day, and we're going to leave the mic open. Anybody got anything, questions, or they got anything to share? It's your time. It's Friday. Thank the Most High. It's Friday. For some of you, but some of us keep on studying. Well, Cartrell, listeners, let's go right back to it then. And he said, I dreaded the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And he is unique. And who can make him change? Some of y'all, they've lied to y'all, said he changes. He don't change. We've changed. He don't say you can get all these different religions. We've changed. He don't say you can get all these idols. It's okay. You pick you one up, make you one up tomorrow. That don't work for you. Get you another one. Y'all don't change. We've changed.
And if Yah hasn't changed, that means there is no New Testament.
My point exactly. Why should it be? And Job said it. He doesn't change. And whatever his soul desires, that he does, because he has that right. You don't have that right. For he performs what is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. He has that authority. You don't. And he said, because he doesn't change and he appoints things for me and all things are with him, I am terrified of his presence. And so should you. When you lean into your own understanding, when you're trying to worship other idols, when you're trying to speak for Yah, when your actions does not reveal that you are a man or woman of Yah in your day-to-day living, when it comes to Yah, when it comes to each other, when it comes to this nation, you should be terrified. I'm terrified. Cartrell, are you terrified?
Most definitely. And Yah says that he's one. He'll mention the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost here.
Exactly. I'm terrified. And he says, when I consider this, I'm afraid of him. I can say that too, Cartrell. Can you? For Yah made my heart weak, and the Almighty terrifies me, because I was not cut off from the presence of darkness. Darkness ain't going to cut me off from it. And he did not hide deep darkness from my eyes.
So Job sounded like he'd been through the valley of the shadow of death.
Man,
that's
what he's saying. He said, but look here, even in this situation, even in my darkest days that I am experiencing right now, I still see him. I'm still not cut off from him. I'm terrified of him. Even to my darkness hour, my children dead, my herd stolen, feet to head, I got boils on, my wife nagging at me, my darkest hour. But I still see y'all, and I'm terrified of him. So should
you. In other words, he respects y'all more than anything. If you're bold enough to say that you're not terrified of Yah, then you're a fool.
Your thinker's broke, Cartrell. If you that bold, your thinker's broke. Okay? I'm terrified. I'm going to let y'all know I'm scared of Yah, and that's just the way it is. You can do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, how you want to do it, and you can lean to your own understanding. I'm terrified. I'm not going to make a move to the left to the right, I'm not going to do anything but what Yah says. Because that is, I need that more than I need nourishment. And you need it too. And I hope you come to understand that. You need Yah more than you need nourishment. Yo, he knew that. I just pray that a whole lot of people know what Job knew. Well, Kasha, what's your comments on it? And then give us another lovely song as I open up the mic to the folk.
So I would say that we should have that thirst, that hunger for the word of Yah, just like we hunger and thirst for food and water and drink every day.
Exactly.
And if we ain't on that level, something wrong with us.
You'll think
of what we see, you know, all the events in the earth that's going on today. Because you have to know that Yah is bringing judgment to mankind for the wickedness that's in the earth, for the bloodshed that's in the earth, for the violence that's in the earth, like in the days of Noah. So he's giving us the resolution. He's giving us the solution. He's giving us the antidote. And we should be thirsting for it like Job, which is why, you know, we read these scriptures so that we can find out the examples that we need to be following. So Job, he's the perfect example. And with that, we could go to the next psalm that we're reading. 79.
All right. Well, Cartrell, you don't have to step away from the mic. I do apologize. Thank you for your commentary. Thank you for your commentary.
Yes. Job is an example that we need to be following. That's why we're reading him. And believe me, he knew good and evil before Moses was even born. So
yeah,
we need to set that in our minds, that he's fighting the forces of evil. Huh?
They still know right from wrong, man.
Yeah.
They just don't want to exercise, so they don't want to think about it.
His allegiance is to the Almighty.
Exactly.
His allegiance is to the Almighty. He didn't say to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he didn't know him as that, but he knew him as the Almighty. So we're going to read the 79th Psalm, a Psalm of Asaph. And we want to give thanks to Asaph for his wisdom, his insight, the vision that he had, because he's a very insightful man. 79th Psalm. O Elohim, the nations have come into your inheritance. Your holy temple, they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heat. The dead bodies of your servants, they have given as food for the birds of the heaven. The flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem. And there is no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, as it is today. They scorn and division to those who are around us, which is why they shoot our young men down in the street. How long, O Yah? Will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on nations that do not know you, and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. Because I'm sure that makes you furious when you see these nations worshiping idols and destroying your creation. But they have devoured Yahweh and laid waste his dwelling place. Yes, we're being devoured, even though some of our people are under the illusion that we are free. We are in no way, shape, or form free in this land of our captivity. Our dwelling place, we don't even know where that is. We like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. We got took by a hurricane. And we wishing to go home.
That's funny, Cartel. Well, they got the Ruby Red Slippers, Cartel. That's the Ruby Red Slippers. You can always come home, click your heels 3 times, open the books up.
But we infatuated with the Emerald City, y'all.
That's better. The Emerald City. I like that, Cartel. Stop it, man. Read the books, okay?
But what did he say? What did he say? What Asaph say? Because they have devoured Jacob. How can Jacob be devoured? Was he devoured when he was living? No, the Most High was with him. Why was the Most High with him? Because he was obedient to Yah, wasn't he?
Exactly.
But his descendants, on the other hand? Yeah, that's the question.
He devoured Jacob
and laid waste his dwelling place. So is Jacob's dwelling place devoured today? Yes.
Exactly.
Oh, do not remember the former iniquities against us. How many of us got iniquities, Zach, that Yah should, like, throw out the window?
Exactly.
Let your tender mercies come speedily to meet us, for we have been brought very low. Where we at, huh?
Very low. Very, very
Help
low.
Us. Help us, O Elohim of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and provide atonement for our sin. Who's going to provide atonement for our sin?
The Most High.
So he didn't say he's going to sacrifice his son to atone for the sins of the world, did he?
No, I didn't read that.
We're asking Yah to forgive our nation.
Are you inserting something in? Are you adding something to this contrail?
I'm trying not to. Okay. But people read the same book and they skip right over this, don't they?
If you add something to it, I guess it would.
So, the glory of the Almighty, his name is going to be glorified. And the Almighty is the one that's going to help us and bring our salvation. Not for us, so that he could be glorified, right? And it's not about us. It's about him.
He's helping us now, Contrary, unbeknownst to some of us.
We think it's about us, which is why you got brothers stepping out there trying to be Moses.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
But Moses didn't get the credit for leading Israel out of Egypt. The Most High said, I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other God before me. That's the first commandment. He didn't mention Moses, Aaron, or Miriam. So these brothers trying to be the savior for the nation. It's not about your glory. It's about the glory being given to the name of the Most High Yah, who is the creator of heaven and earth.
Maybe they do
better. All nations.
Maybe they, Cartrell, maybe they do better. They have a mindset like Job. I'm terrified. I'm not going to make a move. Okay?
And believe me, Job is terrified for a reason, because Yah is going to bring terror to all living on earth when he brings that appointed time, that day of judgment.
Truth be told, everybody
on earth.
And
you don't fear Yah now, you're going to fear him then. Believe me.
Folks out here, like they got a red phone to Yah. Like he tell them every move they make, and they do everything they do based upon his dictation. But they're basically leaning to their own understanding. They're not doing what Yah says. They're doing it for personal adulation and glorification. They're not doing it for Yah. Because if you're doing it for Yah, you're just a tool. You're just a mouthpiece. Just like we are on this show. We're tools. We're mouthpiece. We're just the clay. And we can't tell the people, the person that molds the clay, what time it is, how it's going to go down. We're just the clay. We're just mouthpieces. We're just spokesperson for Yah. That's all we are. And that's all Yah needs of us right now. Just be spokespersons.
Yes, just like Joseph was in Egypt for his family. I'm going to tell y'all what to say. I'm going to tell y'all what to do. Because this is what Yah has instructed me to tell us to do. Right?
Exactly.
Because why should the nation say, where is their God? You don't think the nations know who we are? You don't think the nations don't know our history? That the Most High delivered us out of Egypt and gave us Canaan, kicked us out of the land. You don't think people of the world know our history?
Far better than we do.
Yes. So, and what they saying? Where's your God? Why are you on the bottom? Why are all these problems afflicting y'all? Where's your God? And you know we got more churches than anybody else, right?
Exactly.
There's 461 churches in Mount Vernon. And Mount Vernon is only 4 square miles. Let there be known among the nations in our sight the avenging blood of your servant, which has been shed. So the Most High is going to avenge the blood of the seed of Jacob. Has our blood been shed in these captivity? We've been hung from trees. We've been shot down in the street. You're talking about innocent blood, right?
Exactly.
But in our law, there's something called the Avenger of Blood. You know who our Avenger of Blood is?
The Most High.
There you go. Can you stop our Avenger of Blood? That's why this plague is out here killing so many thousands of people. And we see the hearts of our enemies are being hardened. They don't care about the plague. They go into these rallies in big numbers as if the plague didn't exist. So
madness.
Blood calls for blood.
Madness.
The avenging of the blood of your servant, which has been shed, let there be known among the nations in our sight. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. How many of us are in prison?
I would say all of us.
And how many of us are in the prison industrial complex?
A whole lot of us.
When you think of prisoners, you think about our people, right? Especially in America.
The whole system is a prison. We have two forms of prison systems here. We have a prison system, what I call the inter-prison system, where they lock them up and confine them in actuality. And they have them in the outer prison, where they're locked up and confined, but they don't know they're confined. They think they're free, but they really aren't.
So I would say the ones that are locked up on the inside are the ones that are groaning the most, would you say?
Truth be told. I know that for a fact.
So let the groaning of the prisoner, because the outside prison ain't groaning at all, right? They're comfortable in the outside prison because they got privileges.
Exactly.
We're not groaning out here, or are we? In the outside prison.
Well, we don't know it, but we groaning. We complaining. You know what groaning is? Black Lives Matter. Hands up, don't shoot. March, ride, burn up something. When they going to give us some health care? When they going to give us some food stamps, some more help to the coronavirus? That's moaning and groaning.
When they going to allow our vote to count?
That's moaning and groaning.
Moaning and groaning. You think y'all hears us?
No, because you see, you should be moaning and groaning to y'all.
I think our brothers and sisters that are on the inside are moaning and groaning for y'all.
Yeah, they need to moan and groan to y'all, because these folks ain't going to do nothing for y'all. Yeah. Okay?
They talk about prison reform.
All the groaning you did, you want to do, but if you don't moan and groan to the right one, you ain't going to get the right answer.
And you're not going to get no prison reform or no police reform.
No. They're going to do everything to keep you locked down. Everything. And then some.
Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you, Yah, according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to die. Yeah, they putting us out there, right? Open everything up with the coronavirus smacking you in the face.
Don't
playing, bro.
Party. Go party like it's 1999. Ain't nothing wrong. It's just gone. We riding around the corner, boys and girls. Just go on out, keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And here's the answer, though, because we still got the avenge of blood.
Tag you in. Rhoda out there playing tag country, and they said it's gone around the corner. Rhoda out there, tag you in.
I'm going to show you the confusion, I'm going to show you confusion. First, they're telling you that it's better to be outside so that the virus don't spread, right?
Right.
Now they're telling you that while you're inside, it's going to spread like wildfire.
Exactly.
So where are you supposed to go?
You're supposed to go to a Donald Trump rally. He can save you. Donald Trump can save you. Supposed to go to a Trump rally. If you believe that.
You know what I believe, Rob? I believe he didn't really get the virus, that something else was affecting him, but he said it for political reason. I got the virus, now look at me. This nigga is 74 years old. You got the virus and you ain't got no problems. You just bounce back like that, and it's because of the medicine that your doctors gave you. I don't think he got COVID. And if he did, then them steroids are serious, man.
Right. Yeah, because you may be on to something, Contrail. You may be on to something. You may have had something else that he was contending with all the time.
But the point of fact is that everywhere he go, they saying he creating super spreading events.
I can believe
he's going to. Rona's running wild.
I can believe that.
And he acting like it's just gonna disappear like a cold.
He don't care.
No, he don't care. He doesn't care. He gets the best of American health care. Anybody can't claim that.
But he's trying to take it for you.
He's been walking to a hospital and get emergency care.
But he's trying his best to take away yours. They don't care.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but you can see a lot of people's hearts are tied up into him in spite of his criminality, his bravado, his arrogance, his whole creepy character. This dude is from New York, and he's a criminal, son. We know criminals when we see them, straight out of New York, bro. And he got the people of America duped. He's a con man, New York City con man, and he got the country duped. But people in New York know him. How come New York is not voting for him? Where he come from? You would think, yo, that's our homeboy. He's from New York, son. We be pumping him up. You know how New Yorkers do, right?
New York know about it.
New Yorkers. Treat Donald Trump like he's adopted son.
Well, you know what, Cartier? I'm not worried about none of that Trump and none of that nonsense because, I'm just like Joe. I need the Most High word just like I need nourishment, okay? That all that matters to me, Trump, all this Rona and whatnot. I do the best I can what I got. I do the COVID-19, and I stay away, and I try to keep my mess. I try to wash my hand. But in the fine analysis, if the Most High woke me, ain't no way I can run or hide from him anyway. But I just, I need his words more than I need some soup, okay? And and that's that on that.
You see what Esau said in the sixth chapter, I'm going to go back. He said, pull out your wrath on the nations that do not know you and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. Does Joe Biden call on the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
I don't think so.
So why are we trying to tell him? We think he better than Trump? Neither one of them call on the name of Yah. And guess what? Yep. Yah gonna pour his wrath out on them.
And that's that on that.
So let the prisoners grow, come before you according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are appointed to die, and return to our neighbors sevenfold unto their bosom, their reproach, which they have reproached you, O Yah. So when they reproach us, they're actually reproaching Yah, as if Yah doesn't really exist. They're calling us delusional, they're calling us cults, they're calling us cultural appropriators. We're taking on cultures and history of people that don't belong to us. That's basically reproach. They say
right.
We're sub-Saharan African. That's
right.
How see them. Not reading what we're reading. Huh?
So they're going to tell us who we are. That's a good psychological move. I'm going to stay here and take everything away from you. I'm going to take your names, your memories, your histories, and I'm going to infuse you with our thoughts and our decisions, and we make all the decisions, but... And one of the decisions is you don't know who the hell you are. You are who we tell you are. Otherwise, you're stealing it, somebody else's stuff. You're a thief. The thief telling the good guy he's the thief. You just stole every damn thing from me. You just stole everything from our nation. But I'm the bad guy. I'm the thief. You mistreated, abused, dominated, and sometimes killed. But I'm the bad guy. We the thief. I did.
When we find out what's been stolen, and when we find out the truth, you're going to say we liars, we crazy in the head. No, we found out the truth, bro. You stole this, you stole that, and this is wrong to me.
They're our psychiatrists, not country. We crazy.
Yeah.
You crazy.
They're going to tell you you're crazy because you found out the truth about yourself.
You crazy.
And you're bugging out.
People say you crazy. So you got to be crazy.
No, we're not crazy. We found out the truth. How about
that? That was
you've been trying to hide for all these years.
Well, because I ain't oppressing you, but that's what your oppressor said. You say you're crazy. And then, you know, they running everything, so I guess we is crazy today based upon their determination because they running everything. But I beg to differ. We ain't crazy. Go ahead, Contrail.
You remember the Richard Pryor show, right?
Yeah, I remember.
There was one episode where he played the role of an archaeologist, and he went into the tomb of a pyramid.
Right.
And two white archaeologists was with him.
Right.
And he started discovering what the original Egyptians looked like. He's like, oh, snap. Pharaoh was black. Look at this. These people were black. And the two white archaeologists started backing out the pyramid, getting ready to close them in, which they did. They closed them in.
He was crazy.
Yeah, they just couldn't let that truth get out.
They certainly came, brother. They certainly came.
So you could call me crazy, but I'm reading what's true. And according to what's being said here, the Most High is going to judge the nations that do not know his name. And he will avenge the blood that our neighbors have been shedding. He said, and return to our neighbors sevenfold. You wouldn't want sevenfold on you what you've done to us, would you?
Exactly.
Imagine seven times what you've done to us. Ah, that's quite a sentence, ain't it?
Seven times?
Yeah.
That's sevenfold
into their bosom. Their reproach. Once they have reproached you, oh yeah. When you reproach Yah's people, you're reproaching Yah. That's mm-hmm. how tired we are to him. So we, your people and your sheep of your pasture, we will give thanks forever to you. We will show forth your praise to all generations. And that's our future, to praise Yah forever and to tell about his deeds towards us amongst the nations to every generation that comes behind us. So we're telling the generation now to get ready, be prepared for the things that Yah will do for us. But you got to get on board, and you don't need no ticket. Just jump on.
Cartrell, man, you just said something spooky, brother. Because I know the Most High is with this show. You just said something spooky and surreal. And I'm terrified of the Most High. You know the song I'm going to play in closing? It's Curtis Mayfield, People Get Ready. Okay.
People get ready. Cause the trains are coming.
Just get on board. Yeah. Hey, man, you need to go into singing, country.
That's my psychic ability, man.
Whatever. I'm going to put Gregory on you. Okay. Cartrell.
Yes.
Have you concluded that lovely Psalms?
Yes, sir. We show forth your praise to all generations. We got to praise Yah in this generation and every generation. He keeps us alive to give praise to his name.
Truth be told, Cartrell, all praises to the Most High, the God Almighty, of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and of you too. Well, Cartrell, what's your closing remarks, my brother and friend, before we get out of here?
Love Yah with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Tonight was really family night. We read about the family of Yaqub. Read about the family that's beasting on Job, his closest friends, his allies. And then we see here that we are a nation, that the Most High told Jacob that he would make a great nation of him. And we find ourselves in a predicament where we're at the beckoning call. We're at the mercy of all the other nations. But Yah shows us hope because he does avenge our blood. So we really don't need to be in the streets talking about Black Lives Matter. We need to be moaning and groaning to our father, Yah, like King David did. Direct communication so that he executes his plan in our behalf. And all nations will submit to him and praise his name. That's our mission to the Most High. We have to love the Most High as much as Job did. We need his word. as much as Job needed it, like he said, more than we need food. So swallow that.
Swallow that. Y'all heard that, didn't you? And that's real. Look here, my brothers and sisters, our fellow students. The night has been a pleasure to us, as all nights that we bring the Most High Word to you. It's always a pleasure to go on these studies with you, to go on these travels, go back in time, to have our anecdotal conversation with you. We hope and we pray that what we said have been informative, has been revealing, and has brought to light some things that you were in total darkness about. And we pray that the Most High allow you to apply His word to your life so it can improve your lives in every facet. That being said, Cottrell and I are finna get ready to get out of here. We don't know where you're going, but you finna get out of here too. That being said, may the Most High bless you. Get on that train. Get your mind right. Directing and ordering your step. It is not pretty. It is not cute. And it is not working for you. Only the words of the Most High is working for you. You should be terrified to try to do anything else. As Job said, we are terrified. You should be terrified. And may the Most High bless you. Get ready and get on that train and get on board. We love you and good night.
Get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all. Among those loved the most, you know they've been loved the most. They've been loved the most. The hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to save his own. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner, for there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. You know there's no hiding place. There's no hiding place. So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. I say you just thank the Lord. You just thank the Lord. That's why I'm here to say that I believe. I believe we're gonna make it one day. Brothers, I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Sure enough, I truly. Believe.